You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com. Let's get to our big guest of the day, brought to you by Shatified for the most stylish cuts and straight razor shaves in town. Walk-ins are welcome at all four Edmonton and area locations. And through the playoffs, you can get the free orange hair dye job. Stratty, you should think about it.
Wouldn't need much gel.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. That would be fantastic. Kevin Woodley from InGold Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, welcome back to the show. Just announced Bobrovsky, Connor McDavid, and Sidney Crosby, the finalists for the Hart Trophy. I think Bobrovsky's definitely the favorite. That pretty much secures he's going to win the Vezina, in my opinion. But I want to discuss Braden Holtby, who is a Vezina finalist. What have you seen wrong in his game the last two against the Penguins?
To be honest with you, it goes back further than that. First round against Toronto, I thought he had one good game, and that was game six. I know a lot of people thought that he turned the corner in game five, but if you really watched him closely in game five of that series, the same sort of biomechanical issues that are plaguing him now are prevalent in his game against the Penguins. And it all kind of ties into how well he tracks the puck. When you watch him drop to the ice, when you watch the way he goes down, especially that 2-on-1 goal the other night, it had a really good angle from behind the puck and you could see it. He is going early, as we would say, and that starts with a push with the knees. And as soon as you start pushing with the knees, rather than coming down on that puck with your head, you can see the knees drop, the torso and the chest pull back, and the hands come up before they take a line to the puck. And you can, a couple of great angles, you can really actually see as the puck's coming off the ice, and that drop starts that way, where you're kind of getting that separation between the knees and the upper body. His head comes up. Whenever a guy's not tracking the puck, that's the sign, that whole separation of upper and lower body, and the head has to lift. And that puck is now underneath his vision line. And now he has to come back down to it late and catch up. And you're seeing him miss on shots he normally catches with the glove. You're seeing him get beat clean. You're seeing all kinds of little signs. The 2-on-1 the other day where, again, tough plays, good shots. But you watch the reach with the glove and how the head comes up over the shoulder and sort of everything pulls away from the space. And you're just not on top of that puck with your head. You're not on top of it with your vision. You're not, quote-unquote, tracking the puck well. And this isn't something that's a problem. Every goalie's going to have periods where they're on it and where they're off it. The signs are a little more obvious with Braden right now, and that's the sign of how far off it he is. And I kind of thought he might have, game six might have been enough in Toronto for him to carry it over into this series, but you combine whatever little bit of doubt was there in terms of not feeling good about his game early in the first round with some of the looks they're giving up and some of the skilled shooters that are taking advantage of it in this series against Pittsburgh. And he's, for lack of a better term, he's going early. And when he goes early, all those elements that we praise him for, all those elements that made him the Vezina Trophy winner last year and a finalist again this year, they kind of disappear. He becomes a little bit of a passive goaltender in terms of the way he uses his hands.
Okay, Woodley. So, obviously right now they need him to be at his best to get back in this bad boy. Can it be turned around through video, or does it have to be on ice?
I believe the relationship with his goaltending, Braden is a guy who really feels, and I know in talking to his goalie coach, Mitch Korn, over the years, one of the best in the game, that he has to work his way out of these things. And it's one of the things they struggle with in terms of managing his rest during the season is he's a workhorse. He wants to go. He wants to be on the ice. When you're trying to get him rest, he wants to be on the ice every day. So there is no real days off. So at this time of the year, that can be a bit of a challenge. But for him, it's usually about getting the work in. I don't know if you want to point out those kind of details in video. You want to, if you recognize it, at this point, you'd trust that he'd recognize it too. And usually in that relationship between a goalie and a goalie coach, at this point, they've been at it 3 years, you will know as a goalie coach what drills are more likely to get him back to what you want, back on top of that puck. And you just, it all depends. If you feel he needs to see it, needs to hear it, you show it to them. But sometimes you just run those drills and let it happen naturally. As in a coach, you can see it. Okay, look, he's getting it here. He's getting it here. He's back on top of it. And you hope it just stays there for game one. It's a real fine line, especially with Braden, because the other thing I know about Braden Holtby is he's a real thinker. And that makes for fascinating conversations about the position with him. He really analyzes the game well, but sometimes you need to just kind of, you know, turn the hamster off and make sure he's not running around in that wheel out there too much and just go out and react. And so that's on Mitch Korn now to kind of find that balance between, hey, let's just get some reps in and get you tracking that puck naturally. And how much do we want to talk about this? How much do we want to go over it? How much do I want that in your mind when you step out onto the ice? Because the fear is if it's there too much, you're thinking too much. And the three of us are of a certain vintage where I can pull out a full Top Gun reference. If you think out there, you're dead. I don't know if all of our audience is going to get that one, but goaltending is like being a fighter pilot. If you think you're dead, you really need to be reacting out there.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, the Ducks have scored a few on the glove hand lately of Cam Talbot, has a few people concerned. Any giveaways, anything at all you've seen change, or are those just well-executed shots from the Ducks?
If you give them time and space to rip it off the bar top shelf on the glove side, a lot of the things that it's going to be there. A lot of the things that we praise Cam for, and this isn't saying he has a bad glove. Listen, we just talked about Holtby, and there's a lot of focus tonight on his glove. And he's a guy, when I look at his splits, he's almost 2-to-1 ratio glove side to blocker side on Braden Holtby. Is the ratio on Talbot, it's not quite, you know, is it higher on the glove than it is on the blocker? Yeah, but it's not as bad as some other guys. I think regular season, you know, high mid glove was 42 and, you know, high mid blocker was 32. So it's tilted slightly, but it's not, you know, it's not as bad as some other guys. All the things that we've talked about all year about Cam Talbot that I like about his game, the control in it, the fact he's not chasing wildly outside of his crease, the elements that allow him to play all the games he's played this season, there's a slightly conservative nature to them. So if you get time and space to pick a corner from a good look and you put it, you know, just under the bar on the glove side, there's a good chance you're going to score. So I think, you know, part of that is just not giving up those opportunities. And I say that that's true of probably every goaltender to a certain extent, but you know, Cam errs on a little more of the conservative side, so he's not going to come wildly out and challenge that angle. Doesn't mean he has a bad glove hand. It just means that if you give guys time and space, there's a good chance if they can pick that corner, it might be there.
Take us inside the head of a goaltender when there's an offensive zone faceoff 25 seconds into the game. The puck is, whatever, 200 feet away from you. 5 seconds later, there's a breakaway, and it's Rickard Rakell coming down, probably one of their top goal scorer for the Ducks. I mean, is a goaltender like, holy geez, what just happened out here, or how does this shake down?
You know, that's a good question, and it's one actually I should probably ask a few guys, because I think they're, you know, as much as you're supposed to just be ready from the drop of the puck, I mean, I think most guys around the league will tell you it's nice to get a couple feelers early. It's nice if those first few shots are, you know, easy ones you can steer off the pad with the stick and put in the corner or catch cleanly and just kind of find your rhythm, find your time. I can't think of a guy in the league that would say, yeah, give me that breakaway right off the hop and I'll be ready to go, especially that early into a game. There's no flow in your game. There's no timing. There's no rhythm. And a breakaway, especially because that really is about, you know, for a goaltender, the whole goal of a breakaway is to actually force deke. That's what you want to do, because a deke as a forward, you can only go one of two ways with a deke. You can either go to my glove side or you can go to my blocker side. And as long as I time my retreat so that when you make that move, I'm roughly at the top of my crease, I've got a good chance of being able to make that push, seal the ice, and probably build some vertical coverage above it. With a shot, it can go anywhere. You can go low blocker, you can go above my ear, you can go high glove, you can go five hole. So the goal is to force a deke. And to do that, you usually have to get out, take ice early, and try and match the flow of your retreat to the speed of the oncoming attack. And I think it would probably be even harder to do that well, like you said, 25 seconds into a game with all the speed that was coming down, you know, it would be easier to sort of get caught not ready and a little passive and maybe not feeling the timing and the rhythm and the flow of that breakaway 25 seconds in than it might be with 25 seconds left in a period.
Kevin Woodley in Goal Magazine at NHL.com joins us. Kevin, kind of a tale of two games, the Senators and the Rangers, low scoring. And then in game two, everything breaks loose. Pageau is on fire, scoring four goals. Just one of those nights for the goalies, or is there anything to be concerned about for either Ottawa or New York?
Well, I mean, again, hey, I mean, it all kind of ties down to the type of game you want to play. I mean, as good as Lundqvist has been, and there, I mean, he has stolen them games where they have been overmatched. Even when they're overmatched, even when they're giving up shots, it's usually with some structure. And the structure kind of disappeared. The mistakes were prevalent in that game on both ends. And what I was impressed with, especially on Craig Anderson's end, is he's a guy who, when we talk about rhythm and feel and timing, he relies so much on that. I mean, I had a goalie analyst in the East send me a text message this week saying that he thinks Craig Anderson, and he's probably right, is the closest thing we have left in this game to Marty Brodeur in his prime. I mean, he is very old school, very reliant on skill. And so usually those guys, when things go badly, and there's some of this to John Gibson the other night too, because he's on that end of the spectrum. He's not a very technically pretty goaltender. And usually when things start to snowball, it's harder for those guys to sort of put the brakes on. And it was impressive on a night where everything seemed to be going against him that Craig Anderson was able to be so good in overtime. It wasn't always pretty, but he managed to get the job done. And that's quite often the way it is for Craig Anderson. I think there was an element of that with Gibson the other night. I mean, a couple of bad ones, a couple of bad breaks, yet he was able in tough moments with the game on the line to make some pretty remarkable saves. And it shows you something. I prayed Talbot for this all year. I prefer, because it's a little more reliable, the technical guys, because I think they have a foundation to go back to when things start to fall apart. But it shows you just how good the reads are, how high the skill level is of a Gibson and an Anderson, that without that sort of positional and tactical foundation as an anchor in their game, they're able to kind of throw a switch and recover without the need for a day off. I mean, it speaks probably to their mental strength, and it speaks to the quality of the skill and the reads that they make that they were able to do that. So I think it's a real positive for the Ottawa Senators when you have a goaltender who's prone to big ups and downs that he was able to stop the bleeding in overtime against the Rangers. That would be the one big positive I take away for the Sens.
The thing I like the best about playoffs are the matchups. And I think one matchup, and it's a pretty obvious one, but it's shooters against any goalie on any team, right? So there's that ability of the other team's goaltending coach to say, you know what, on Martin Jones, let's work his five hole over. Maybe that's what Justin Schwartz said, and the Oilers had some success there. Is it easier for the goalie to close that up because he knows that's where they're targeting as you go through a series? Or is it easier for the players to say, you know what, it's working, guys, let's keep hammering on X, whatever that X factor is for the goaltender's weakness?
Well, I think to me, the hard thing for the goaltender would be we all pay so much more attention to it now as the playoffs go on that factor, that X, becomes talked about publicly so much. And you get asked about it. I'm sure Braden Holtby's been asked about his glove hand. But to me, the most impressive part of Corey Crawford when he first won the Cup was almost the fact that he was able to overcome all the focus on a glove hand that to this day still has, you know, it's not a strength. That's the hard part. I think if you're a goaltender, you're trying not to change your game. You're not going to erase tens of thousands of hours of repetition and change how you go to the ice to close the five hole. But the danger is if you start thinking, crap, they're just ripping me five hole here, I got to go early, I got to make that push down to the ice early, do you start to expose other areas? And so it's more of a mental battle for them. I have been impressed for sure too. I think it's a shooter's advantage. And I think it does get tougher as the playoffs go on for the goaltender to kind of maybe push those things to the back of their mind and stay away from too much analysis and too much overthinking. But there's no question. I mean, every little mistake, every goal is microanalyzed, and trends, I mean, I've done it for NHL.com for 3 years now. I mean, trends are picked apart and guys recognize things. And what I do is nothing compared to what a guy like Dusty Schwartz does. I mean, he's got analytics tied to each area and save percentage on each spot where the puck can go in on the goaltender. He has all access to all those goals. So if he picks something he sees in a trend in the numbers, he can then look at every goal that plays to that trend and see if he identifies a weakness. We talked about Braden Holtby earlier in this session pushing to the ice rather than tracking down to the ice. That's certainly a trend with Martin Jones. During the regular season, it didn't lead to a lot of five-hole goals. But again, if you analyze the biomechanics, it kind of pulls you away and opens up, and the heels slide in behind as you drop, and that does open the five-hole. And so even if the numbers weren't there, that's a trend that I believe he did spot. Just like in game one against John Gibson, I mean, how many times have you guys seen it? You know, they scored the winning goal this way, and they almost scored earlier in the game. We've seen the attempted wraparound and then throw it back the way you're coming as a pass. We've seen that before. But trying to bank it in off the goaltender skate because of the way he plays that, because he plays that particular rush with his skate outside the post, to me, that had pre-scout written all over it from Dusty Schwartz, and it resulted in the game-winning goal in game one.
Kev, as always, man, great stuff. We'll talk to you next Monday. We appreciate it. Have a great week.
My pleasure. I hope I get to talk to Strutty more. He probably doesn't even remember me. It's just one of those guys shoving microphones in his face when he was here in Vancouver for all those years.
Yeah, I know, Whitley. I did so many interviews there beside Bertuzzi and Naslin. Of course I remember you, buddy. I mean, there wasn't a lineup to talk to me, was there?
we saved you for the gold. We always came to you when we wanted the good quote.
Well, thanks for that, buddy.
Okay, see you guys.
Yeah. Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine.